Yep, cleaning up the trash in our hearts as well as alongside the road, huh? Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. And guys, you know, I oftentimes, you know, I find out about people who've done different things in this church, and I forget to make mention to it, you know, and I know that I'm always going to forget somebody, but, you know, like today I was talking to Don, and he's been here at this church for 25 years, okay? He's helped reconstruct this building over here, helped build the other building, the fellowship hall or the classrooms right now. You know, he's invested so much of his life in this church. And I know that I could go around to each one of you. Yeah, give him a hand. Give Don a recognition. Because we were talking about that today. I could go around to so many of you here that have invested so much in this church. And that's why I think it's so neat when I see you in the morning and you're talking to each other, because you're a family that's come back together. It warms my heart. You know, as your pastor, because in a sense I'm the dad, and I get to look down and I get to say, wrap you all in my arms and just give you a big hug and just say, it's good to have you home. It's good to have you home. What's that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you know, you got to have some imagination here, okay? Isaiah chapter 9. This is a passage that we hear frequently during this time of the year. And I want us to take just a look at it as we take a focus on our Advent Sunday of preparation and faith. Okay? Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then if you can turn a couple hundred pages over in your Bible, it's on page 1473 in my Bible, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In the New Testament, it's easier almost to go all the way to the end and then turn back a few pages, okay? So Hebrews chapter 11. And I just want us to look at the last verse in that passage, verse 39. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. And understand, what's going on is the author of Hebrews has gone through here and he has enumerated the great hall of faith, okay? He's talked about from Cain and Abel and the sacrifices that were offered, you know, through Noah, through Abraham, through Moses, and all of God's mighty work through these great men of faith, okay? Men and women of faith, too, he mentions. And he talks about how some of them were blessed and some of them were not. It didn't turn out necessarily well for them, but they didn't compromise on their faith. But they believed. And he talks about how they acted the way they did based upon the faith they had in God's word to them, and the faith that God was telling them, and how God was telling them to act. And in verse 39, at the conclusion of this chapter of faith, he says this: these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it instructs us. We thank you for the hope that it gives. We thank you, Father, for the fact that it gives to us promises. Promises of your good work and the things that you want to do in us, through us, with us. And I thank you, God, for it. I pray, God, that now as we spend some time reflecting upon these words and reflecting upon the season, that God, your Spirit will speak to our hearts, causing us to pause to reflect on the promises you've given to us and how we are to respond. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the candles that we've lit. I know most of you, probably most of you, are not familiar with Advent and Advent wreaths and Advent candles and stuff. It's okay. It's always fun to learn something new, okay? The purpose, what you just need to understand, the purpose of the Advent candles, the purpose of the Advent wreath, is to help us during this time of year to focus upon the real meaning of Christmas. As it's been mentioned, there are four candles here on the outside and a center candle. The center candle is the Christ candle. We'll light that on Christmas Eve. So you got to come back Christmas Eve if you want to get the full effect, okay? Last week was the candle of anticipation, and or the Advent Sunday of anticipation. The candle is the candle of hope. And hope and anticipation, we're in anticipation of what God's going to do. And it gives us hope in our hearts. And so the lighting of that reminds us of the what God is about to do and the hope that he brings to us because of what he's going to do. Today is the candle of preparation, or it's the Advent Sunday of preparation. The wording of this is difficult, but it's the Advent Sunday of preparation. It's the candle of faith, okay? So in faith, we prepare for the coming of Christ because we believe God's promise of sending that Messiah, which we read about in Isaiah chapter 9, that God's going to send that Messiah, that he's promised to send us that deliverer, that wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. Because of the promise, we act in faith to get ready for it. We prepare for him. Okay? We prepare for him. And that's what the Advent is about. And we take that time. Now, how many of you guys went shopping on Black Friday? No? Oh, you guys are all smarter. Oh, one. Yeah, we got one. Okay. But the rest of you, y'all were smart to stay away from the stores, huh? You learned. Yeah, we stopped doing that a long time ago. But how many, you think about it, and the Black Friday and what is it, the Cyber Monday, or is it, what is it? All those events that go on. And how many of you have already got all your Christmas shopping done? Yeah, some of you? Yeah, good. I commend you. Got one left? One left? Yeah, all done. You know, and you know what? You think about it. You get wrapped up in all of this preparation. You spend hours and hours. Man, I'll tell you, how many of you got all your Christmas decorations up? Okay. Yeah, some of you. Yeah, I can't figure out the lights. Okay, I'm still trying to figure out about the outside lights. I can see them on the Joshua trees there. I haven't figured out yet how I turn them on. And you know, I don't know what the deal is. So I gotta get out there and figure it out. What's that? Yeah, I'm not even sure where the plug is though. Okay, that's the problem. Yeah. And then I got to figure out all the extension cords to get there and not shock myself when it rains and, you know, all those things. Okay, so anyway, that's kind of what's going on. But you know, man, as soon as Thanksgiving was over, or dinner was over, we're hauling out the stuff out of the garage, starting to put up. And you go through this madhouse cleaning, you know, changing everything out, putting up all the Christmas decorations, getting all the things you've collected over the years. And then you go to put up the Christmas tree, you know, and you pull out all the decorations, the ornament. Thank you. I knew there was a word for that. And all the ornaments, and you pull one out, and you look at it. Oh, that's what Todd was a little girl. Yeah. And you remember all those things, and you cry about it, and you stick it up there, you know. And then I say, where's the BB gun so I can shoot them all off? And you know, you have all that stuff going on, the preparation for Christmas, right? Getting all ready. And then you talk about all the shopping and all the stuff that you have to do to get ready for the shopping. You go to the stores and you buy this, and then you come home and you realize, oh, no, I forgot Aunt Betty. Okay, and now what am I going to do? And you go back to the store again, and you have to fight all those crowds, right? And that's why you stay home on Black Friday, right? Yeah. So you go through all this preparation, and you're doing all these things for the Christmas event, right? Kind of reminds me of a story about Abraham Lincoln. And you say, Curtis, what has Abraham Lincoln got to do with Christmas? Well, it's just the story, okay? The story is told about, and you know, I'm not a historian. I just read a lot of stuff, and people tell me this, and so I kind of believe it, you know, but I didn't go back and verify it. I didn't go to the archives and find out if this really happened. But I was told that at one time, when Abraham Lincoln was campaigning, he was on the campaign trail, hadn't been elected president yet, and he was on a campaign trail, and a little girl wrote him a note from this Midwest town, and wrote him a note and said, you know, Abraham, I think, Mr. Lincoln, I think you should grow a beard because you're kind of homely, and that might make you look better, okay? But you know how innocent children are, right? And he wrote back, and he said, well, thank you very much for your, you know, he actually responded to her. He wrote back and says, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate it very much and the interest that you've taken in my campaign. And he says, in fact, you know, if my campaign brings me through your city, then I want to be sure to stop and visit with you. Well, that letter came back, and her father happened to read it, okay? And got all excited because they knew that the train was scheduled to come through, and got all excited and let the whole town know. And people in the whole town started getting all excited, and the mayor figured out, hey, let's do this big rally. And they started getting the schedule and matched all this stuff out. And they got it, everything arranged. They had a band, and they had the mayor with a speech, and they had, you know, all the dignitaries in the town, and everybody was all excited about this. And on the day that he was supposed to come through, they all went to the depot to wait for the train to arrive, okay? Except for the fact that it broke down 2 miles out of town. And while it was sitting there, and they were working on the repairs for this train, Abraham Lincoln decided not to waste the time. So he went ahead and got off the train, walked, came in the back way of town, and the streets were empty because everybody was up at the depot. And he finally went to the, found the house, knocked on the door, and they had left the little girl there. Even though that's who he was coming to see, they figured Abraham Lincoln wouldn't really want to see her. And they had left her at home. And so the housekeeper opened the door, and he went in and he played with it, and he found the little girl and her playmate that were there, and he went and he had you know how they always pretend to be having tea, and he had tea and cookies, pretend cookies with them, and they talked and gathered there for a little bit. When he was finished, he packed up and he went on back to the train. About the time got on the train fired up and came rolling right past the depot, and all those people are sitting there with the president who didn't stop. And they go, what happened, you know? And you know what? That's something like what happens to us. We get so busy in this hurry to get ready for Christmas. We get wrapped up in getting all the presents, wrapping all the presents, buying everything, getting the decorations all up, and everything else, that Christ comes and goes right on past, and we miss him in all of the busyness. Wow. You know, that happened in Jesus' day. There were people, think about it for a second. Here was the King of Kings. He was going to be born. And Mary and Joseph had come into this town, into Bethlehem. And they were strangers there. I mean, it was his historical lineage came from there, but they hadn't lived there. And Mary and Joseph come in looking for a place to set their belongings, looking for a place where they could find shelter for the night as they come into town because of the census. And as they come into that town, they're looking, and the innkeeper answers the door. And he says, I don't have any place for you. His inn was full because of the census. The inn was full. Everybody, he was busy making all his money. He was doing his business, his taking care of the business. And he missed it whenever this child was born in a manger. He missed the coming of the king. And think about it. The religious leaders had been so busy with their religious duties that when the Christ child came, as God had promised, they missed his birth. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the other activities of life. Good activities. It was good that they were seeking after God. It was good that they were involved in their Bible studies. It was good that they were attending the church. It was good that that innkeeper was making business and making money. But so many times we get distracted that we let these things, these important events, go right on by. You ever been there where you just slap yourself on the back of the head and you go, wow, how did I miss that? How did I miss that? And then there are some people who didn't miss it. Think about it for a moment. Zechariah and Elizabeth, remember? An angel had come to Zechariah, told him that he was going to have a son who would be John the Baptist, turned out to be John the Baptist. And he was going to tell people about the Christ. And he told them about it. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were aware of it. And remember when Mary came, visited, John the Baptist leaped for joy inside the womb because of the coming of the Messiah. Remember, Mary and Joseph both were visited by angels. And they were told about this coming king. They were told about this. And Mary and Joseph paid attention. They listened to that voice of God. They listened to him speaking because they took time and they were away. And they listened to God speak to them. Think about Simeon and Anna, the prophet and prophetess, there in the temple as Jesus came and was presented. And the angels in the field, as they witnessed the appearance of the angels of heaven, or the shepherds in the fields, as they experienced those angels appear to them. Wow, think about it. I mean, they could have just rolled back over in their sleep. See, that's what I would have done. I would have been sleeping there and I would have just said, and rolled back over. That's not what they did. They stopped what they were doing, and they listened to the angels tell about the Christ coming. Isn't that exciting? Folks, as we're experiencing this holiday season, we can get wrapped up in all the activities and all the decorations that are going on. We can get wrapped up in everything that we have to do and all the shopping that we have to do and all the meals that we have to prepare. And all of the events going on, the cantata, the Christmas Eve service, the caroling, and all the things that we have to do. But we need to take time just to wait. We need to take time just to listen to that voice of God as he prepares us for the coming of the King. And that's one aspect of it here. You know, and I think that sometimes the preparation, if we're not taking the time to prepare our hearts for the coming, and we get so wrapped up in the preparation of all the decorations, we miss the Christ coming. I think there's another point that we can mess up, and that's in the distractions. Okay? We can let the distractions get in the way. Do you remember this TV series Monk? I like Monk, okay? Okay, I have to admit. Olive Monk, you know, that paranoid schizophrenic, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what he was, but he had all those psychological problems and was afraid of everything, okay? And he had problems, right? He had all these obsessions, these phobias. And I remember one episode where he was standing out on the street with I guess it was Sharona and all these other people, and they were watching the marathon runner starting to come by, okay? And they were looking. He had a hero that was a marathon runner, okay? And he was anxiously waiting for this marathon runner to come by. And he was all excited and all jazzed that he'd been waiting, and this was the first time he was going to see him again. He saw him once before, and he was so excited because of this marathon runner's great accomplishments. And he's all excited about it. And he's standing there, and he's looking. And as he's looking, he looks over here, and he sees a guy who has his sweater buttoned off. One button off, okay? And because he's all of a sudden sees this button that's not in place, he starts looking at it. No, I gotta. And he's looking and watching for the runner, and he's torn here, and he's gotta go. Finally, he gives up, and he runs over here, and he says, here, let me straighten this out for you. Got your button. And of course, nobody wants somebody that they don't know messing with their sweater, and this guy, stop, go away, what's wrong with you? And all of a sudden, Monk is so tired, and Sharona's over there yelling, hey, wait, here comes your guy, hey, Monk, look, and Monk's over there, no, you gotta let me fix this. Next thing you know, He's gone. He's run past. And Monk has missed it. He's missed it. Because he was distracted. He was distracted. Folks, we can do the same thing in our Christian life. And we can do the same thing this Christmas. There's all these things going on in all of our lives. You know, I've talked to people and I can't tell you how many surgeries are needed right now in just in our congregation. How many people are dealing with back problems or other health problems, okay? We've got all these distractions. How many people have family problems going on? And we know individuals, struggles that they're going through. And these are all very, very real things. There's none of them that are insignificant, okay? But they are distractions for life. God wants us to experience good things. And he's made a promise to you. He says, here, I'm going to bring Christ. I'm going to bring the Christ. I'm going to bring him to you. Okay? I want you to have this wonderful counselor, the everlasting King, the Almighty. I want you to experience him. And we can sit there, and then we can allow the distractions to come. All the critical issues in our lives. The family events, the medical events, all these distractions. And I call you back. This is the candle of faith. Candle of faith. And it tells me, whenever I read through that list of those who were faithful, okay, and I encourage you to go back and read Hebrews chapter 11 today. Just to go back and look at those people and the struggles they went through. And here it was, for example, the promise that was given to Abraham, that he was going to have a son. Okay? In his old age, he was going to have a son. And he was already old. And the scripture says it took 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. Think about Moses. Moses had a calling on his life. I think that's part of the reason why at about the age of 40, he went back to his people. He knew that he was, although raised in the Egyptian household, the household of Pharaoh, at the age of 40, he knew that he didn't belong there. He knew that he was a Hebrew, and he knew that God wanted to use him to deliver the people. He had a calling on his life. And he went out and tried to do it, ended up killing one of the Egyptians, okay? And then because of that, and the word got out that he had done that, he had to escape out into the desert. And for 40 years, 40 more years, he had to wait for God to fulfill the promise in his life, the calling in his life, to be used as a deliverer for the children of Israel. Now, that's not the whole story, but that's part of it, okay? And you need to think about it. And even though after God used Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt, he went for another 40 years, hoping to see the promised land, never getting to enter the promised land. For 40 years. But the scripture says there, that verse that we read, it says every one of them, they never received their promise, but they had faith that God was going to do it. They took and they had faith that God was going to be there with them, that he was going to fulfill that promise. They had faith in what God wanted to do. And they kept and they held on to that promise. And ultimately, all of them looked forward in faith to the coming of the Jesus Christ. They looked forward. They knew it hadn't happened yet, but they looked forward in it. Folks, you and I are a little in a different position. We look back at the event of the Christ coming. And we look in faith back there, believing upon that cross that Christ came to die. That you and I are the recipients of God's promise, okay? And in faith, we can hold on and we can embrace that promise that God has given to us. Remember the words in John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. Yeah, he loved the world. But the essence is, he loved, and because he loved, he gave. That's the essence of what our Christmas spirit is about. Now, I don't want to say that's why we give gifts, but that's part of it. Okay? I'm not saying the gifts that we give are the same as the gift that God gave to us. Certainly not. But God was so motivated by love that He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us His Son. And this Christmas, I want to challenge you. My challenge to you is this. That you take time this week. Next week, we're going to look at a different aspect. But take time this week to prepare your heart for the coming of the Christ child. Preparing your heart to look in faith to receive all that God wants to give you this Christmas season. You know, and I'm not talking about material gifts. The gifts that God gives to me and my family, the gifts that God has given to me and you, are not things that I can touch in this world. I can't wrap you up in a bow. Don, you'd look kind of funny in a bow, okay? But the point is that God wants us to experience His love. He wants us to experience His grace. And I hope that we can take that time, set aside some time, that just like the shepherds in the field, just like Mary and Joseph who listened to the angels, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, you can listen to hear God speak to you this Christmas. Prepare your hearts. That's what this time is about for us, preparing our hearts. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you simply for the gifts that you have given to us. In Jesus Christ, and not just, I mean, it's so much is wrapped up in that, but the gift of grace, the gift of love, the gift of belonging, God, the gift of knowing that we have been forever accepted by you, the gift of sensing that we're part of your family, that you have brought us and made us sons and daughters by adoption and received us as your own. And you've given us that right to call you Daddy, to come and worship at your throne. And we celebrate that privilege here during this time of the year, acknowledging that you have given us the most precious gift of all. And I pray, God, that in faith today, that each one of us here can embrace that gift that you've given, that we can receive, in the name of Jesus Christ, all that you have for us. It's because of Him that we pray and ask these things. Thanks for being here today. As you go today, may you go in God's.